Good morning, Cornerstone. I am so glad to be with you. My name is Andrew Ray, and I am your Youth and Young Adult Director. I would like to start off by apologizing to our camera guy. I have no intention on staying still. So luckily we have a good one on board, and he's going to have to keep up with me. So I'm super excited. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about me and my history here at Cornerstone. I have been at Cornerstone for 22 years. Yes, I haven't been doing much for 22 years, but I've been here, and some of you are surprised I'm older than 22. Yes, I am so glad to have been here at Cornerstone for 22 years. And over those 22 years, I have acquired objects I have no use for, but still love to this day. I have gotten so many t-shirts. I can tell you just memory after memory, some you don't want to hear right here on this stage, that may be on video camera, actually, but I've been told not to share that story. See me afterward. And Donna Angoni, she is our humble leader of the senior ministry, and she was my three-year-old Sunday school teacher over in our childcare. We had John and Pat Hine, who are still teaching the fifth and sixth grade class, who were my teachers and taught me patience, how to love God. And they did that by being patient with me when I walked to the bathroom and back like this because my shoes were tied together. Thank you, Brandon Harper, if you're watching. Every Wednesday, my lovely parents right here made sure I came to Royal Rangers where I would make this really cool staff. It's supposed to be the staff of Aaron, which is appropriate for today, but I made this really cool staff, and they also taught me how to be a man, how to love Jesus. Even our youth leaders, when I was a youth in this youth group, Miss Angie Martin, who again is right there, thank you, I love you. She was one of my youth leaders and is still a youth leader today, gave me this journal. And yes, I did write in it, in case you're wondering, and just helped me, you know, graduate high school and go into college, you know, focusing on the Lord. Cornerstone, you've been so good to me. I'm eternally grateful for how well you have loved me, how patient you have been with me when I was a kid, a punk teenager, a punk adult, and just loved me so well. So I'm so proud to be a part of your family. And I'm so proud of what we have become. So if you would, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We are talking through the Ten Commandments, through claiming the land in Israel. And I do hope to hit every point there, but it is a sprint, not a marathon. So we will have to make sure we stay on time. Good stuff. So Exodus chapter 20, we'll just be doing verses 1 and 2 right now. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now when you read the passage of the Ten Commandments, right? Because this is how it starts. When you read the passage of the Ten Commandments, before God tells you what to do, before God tells you to do anything, he needs you to know who he is. He needs you to know who he is because before we can do anything, we have to know who we're doing it for. We have to know who we are doing it for. So, consider this. Israel. Israel was meant to show us who we would be on an individual basis. Who they were as a nation is who we are as individuals. Israel often, you know, forgot God and then had to be shown to remember again. Israel, you know, focused on their works only to be shown grace. Israel, the life of Israel is a picture of our life. And even a picture of Jesus' life. Jesus flees to Egypt and then comes back. Jesus goes to the mountain and gives a sermon recreating the law. Jesus lives the life of Israel in one lifetime. And so we get to do that today. Church, the reason the Lord wants us to understand the Ten Commandments through a perspective of his identity, the reason he wants us to understand our own identity in the perspective of his identity, is because our faith is never meant to be blind. It is based on a memory of God's faithfulness. It's based on a memory of generations of God being faithful to an undeserving ragtag group. For thousands of years, that group was Israel, and today that is the church. He has invited all of us in, and we get to be the ragtag group that God calls family. That is who we get to be. And that is an amazing privilege. And yes, there is rules to follow. Yes, there is a law. Yes, God has set up a religion. But he has not done so outside of telling us to remember who he is. He has told us to be faithful because he is faithful. And John, he says, you know, I have loved because, or you love because you were first loved. You've heard that saying, hurt people, hurt people. Loved people, love people. Forgiven people, forgive people. Right? Redeemed people, help redeem people. So if I can sum up the entire message today, it would be this. Remember who saved you. Remember Jesus. Remember who saved you. Remember Jesus. All right, let me give you a silly, goofy example. So I'm dating a beautiful woman. Her name is Meredith. I'm as surprised as you are. I see me. We have mirrors. And so I'm just overjoyed that I get to date this beautiful, smart, lovely woman of God. And truthfully, we have so many amazing memories together. Going to a wedding over at Mankin Mansion, drop-dead gorgeous venue, by the way. And we go, and I was invited, and she was my plus one, and we get to the wedding, and way more people know her than know me. And like, we still laugh about that to this day, or the time where her and I, for her birthday, went down to Raleigh just to spend the day there, and we got to walk these parks and tour the city and eat amazing pizza, or our first Christmas together, where I got her this necklace that she still wears to this day. Every single day, I have not seen a day without it. And in each of these memories have shaped, morphed, defined, sculpted our relationship into something so beautiful. But imagine I forgot. Or maybe worse, imagine I remembered, but inaccurately. Imagine that's what I did. That, if it wasn't corrected quickly, it would be the beginning of the end for our relationship. What was beautiful would be poisoned and eventually crumble. And unfortunately, this happens to Israel. It only takes 12 chapters, which if you read, it's literally, he doesn't come down from the mountain. Moses has not come down from the mountain, and that's the amount of time it takes for Israel to forget. So in Exodus chapter 32, starting at verse 1, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves to Aaron and said, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." The man who brought us out of Egypt. Remember the one thing God wanted us to remember. He was the God who brought us out of Egypt. He chose Moses, but he could have chosen anyone. He was the God who brought them out of Egypt. But how quickly did they forget? How quickly did they forget? And they say, "Moses, you brought us out of Egypt. We're going to then, we lost him too, so we're going to create gods for ourselves." And it takes seven more verses for them to say, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." It takes 12 chapters of biblical history to go from God to Moses, and then 8 verses to go from Moses to man-made gods. How quickly do we forget? And I wish I could say this wasn't us. I wish. And I wish I could say that this was just Israel. This was a one-time event. But if you continue to read the Old Testament, they forget and God graciously reminds them. They forget and God graciously turns them back in. He sends men and women who he anointed and who he shows himself to and places his character into, and they remind Israel that God is the God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. But this problem is much older than Israel. This problem goes all the way back to Genesis 3. When Eve is tempted in the garden, the serpent doesn't say, the enemy doesn't say, oh, come on, you really want it. You know, this is more important. He doesn't say any of that. What the enemy says is, did God really say? The enemy attacks Eve's memory of the Lord. The enemy attacks the one thing that protects her faith and trust in the Lord, and that is her memory, right? Because when we do not immediately feel the presence of the Lord, the only thing we have to rest on is memory. And when our faith crumbles, it's because our memory crumbled first. And so that right there is exactly what happens to us today. We get into the grind of everyday life, and all the voices of the world, the voices of depression, of anxiety, of injustice, of disease, of quarantine, of divorce, of everything, of family problems, relational problems, everything, loneliness, all the voices, the menagerie of voices that are in our ear just overwhelm. And we forget the voice of God, and the enemy places one voice louder than the rest, and it's saying one phrase, did God really say? Did he really say he would provide? Did he really say he would heal? Did he really say that he would give us his righteousness? Did he really say that he was our Father, that he would not leave us, that he would not forsake us? Did God really say that? Church, yes, he did. Yes, he did. But he said one more thing that we all need to remember. Remember who saved you and remember Jesus. Because the last thing he said was that he would come again. Right? Israel groaned for a savior. Every time they thought they got a judge or a prophet, all of it pointed towards the savior. All of it pointed towards Jesus. The entire book of Matthew is Matthew, a Jew himself, saying, this is the prophecy Jesus fulfilled. This is the prophecy Jesus fulfilled. This. All of the Old Testament is pointing toward Jesus. Even the promised land is a picture of Jesus. Right? Because Israel was promised a land. We were all promised a man. The man who was promised is the man who came, died for your sins, and was raised back to life, conquering sin, conquering death. And he's the man who will come again. The story's not over, church. I know the gospel sounds too good to be true, right? That we can have rest, that we can have peace, that we can have hope. And if it came from any other mouth, it would be too good to be true. Right? Jesus came and resurrected from the dead so that you and I could resurrect with him. He became the first person to inherit eternal life so that he could offer that inheritance to you. Church, we need to remember the fundamentals of our faith, that we have access to the resurrection. And it doesn't stop there. Everything that Israel groaned for, we get to have access to. We have the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus himself says, it's better that I leave so that you can have the Holy Spirit, so you have access to it. You have access to the Holy Spirit. Church, we live in a world where our access to God is only hindered by our memory of him. We live in a world where the only thing that keeps us from entering the throne room of God to commune with the Holy Spirit, to be at the feet of Jesus, is our memory of it. God calls us to remember. The entire next books after Exodus, or Leviticus, Number, Deuteronomy, you're just flipping pages of God telling Israel, remember who I am. Remember that I am your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Remember Passover. Celebrate the Sabbath because I rested. Remember that I rested so you can rest. Remember the Feast of Booths and all of these celebrations. Remember them because I am your God. And church, he's your God. And not just that, but he sent your son so that you could have a closer access than anyone in history. He loves you so much. All you have to do is remember your Savior. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. So, how do we remember? How do we remember? Well, for Israel, like I said, is they set up rhythms, routines. Their calendar was meant to remember the Lord. Their entire calendar, their religion, their culture, everything about the Israelites was meant to point back to what God had done, because if God has done it, he will do it again. Right? If God, he can bring them out of the land of Egypt, who can keep them? Who can stop God? Who can enslave the Israelites? No one. No one. So they set up an entire system to remember God. And here are some things, that the rhythms, routines that we do in the church, right, that over time we've realized are what keeps us remembering God. All right, the first one is we read the Bible. I know who stood on the stage. I know you're not like, Sean, this is the first time we're hearing this. We're supposed to read the Bible. I get that. I know that's so simple. Right? In the Bible, the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path is exactly that, because it reminds us of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It reminds us of the character of God. It reminds us of everything we have put our faith into. When we give our life to Jesus, it's because of everything we've read in here, and we say that is true. That is the pathway to life. That is the pathway to resurrection. So it is not that you read your Bible to be saved. It's you read your Bible to remind you of who saved you. You read your Bible to remind you of who it is that saved you. So back to Meredith, my sweet Meredith. She is very gracious. But if her and I didn't plan time together, our relationship would crumble. If I put her in a place in my life where I guess I'm free. I mean, okay, I watched my show. I got to sleep in late, and I guess I have time. I'll go see Meredith. Right? If the only time I called her or texted her was right before bed. Or I wake up in the morning, good morning, Meredith. Really appreciate you. Have a wonderful day. And then the next time I planned on seeing her was, or talking to her, was the next day, our relationship would crumble. You would actually, or I would actually have trouble remembering who she is. I'd have trouble remembering the things that I liked about her. I'd have trouble remembering all those memories that we had in the past. And I know some of us, that is our routine. I've been guilty of it myself, that is my routine. And then I just wait for the next winter advanced or the next retreat or the next marriage conference to get close to God. Or I just wait for Sunday. I'm just longing for Sunday so that I can get closer to God and worship him. And that is not the system that the Lord has designed for us. The system he designed for Israel permeated their entire lives. The sacrifices, the celebrations. They had an entire year of Jubilee every 7 years. It was meant to be an everyday, all-day thing. And the way we read the Bible should be so intentional, should be so thought out that it permeates your life. It gets into all the nooks and crannies, all the crevices. It should not just be something that we check off a list so that we can feel better about ourselves, right? God is a comforter, but he is not, he did not save you for your therapy. He saved you for abundant life. And so we read the Bible not just saying, what do I need to do next, Lord? We read the Bible saying, who are you? How can I get to know you better? Show me your character. Show me what you've done. Remind me of who you are. Remind me of where you've taken me from so that I can celebrate and rejoice in the freedom that I have right now. Remind me that I'm free. That is what the Lord has done through his holy word. To put it very simply and shortly, to remember Jesus, read his story. To remember Jesus, read his story. Because everything I tell you today, I am desperately trying to just get you to remember your Savior, to remember Jesus. So to remember Jesus, read his story. But there's one other thing we do, and that is we share our testimony. Right? In Revelations 12:11, the attack of the enemy was conquered by the blood of the Lamb. And order matters here. The blood of the Lamb. He conquers sin and death. He conquers the enemy, right? So that is the power by which the enemy is conquered. But the means is by the word of our testimony. The enemy is conquered by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, because we are meant to be reminding each other. This is not a one-runner race. We are here running with one another, encouraging one another, exhorting one another. We are here to be on a team, to be a family running together to accomplish the race that the Lord has set out for us. And he told us to share our testimony. What has the Lord freed you from? What has the Lord done in your life? Remember, you can't tell a story you forget. But you will forget a story you never tell. So, tell your testimony. And this is, again, I know my young adults hear this passage every time, but in Hebrews 11, that hall of faith, it is the testimony of all the men and women in the Bible who pursued Jesus. Right? He says, for time, he runs out of time, but for time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdom, enforced justice, shut the mouths of lions, escaped the edge of the sword, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, right? And here's the thing, they even tell the testimonies that are hard to hear, because without a pause, he said some were tortured, refusing to accept release, right? They were mocked, flogged. The testimony of what God can bring you through, God can bring you past, because all of our testimonies are the same, no matter what the edges might tell us. You were dead, and now you're alive. And that is what we have to be reminding ourselves every day, is that we were dead, but now we are alive because Christ died and then rose again so that we could live. Paul says, he says, but I, the love of Christ compels me, controls me, because I have been convinced of this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for he who for their sake died and was raised. Right? He says, I am so controlled and compelled by the gospel because I have been convinced of the gospel. And he reminds himself of what the Lord has saved him from and what the Lord has saved him to. To put it shortly, to remember Jesus, tell your story. So to remember Jesus, read his story. And to remember Jesus, tell your story. The entire Bible is to remind us of Jesus. The entire Bible reminds us of Jesus. And we are waiting for a day when Jesus will return again. But that came with a promise, and that came with a sign, and that sign is communion. And we'll be taking communion here in a couple minutes. And so if ushers want to make sure we're in those places, let me tell you a little bit about communion, right? Communion is a promise. Take this in remembrance of me, right? Because remember what he had done and remember what he's about to do. He's going to come again. He is coming again. And the systems and the inner turmoil, all mental illness, everything that just ravages us on a day-by-day basis will no longer be a part of our story. Will no longer will be the path that we have to face. All of that will be gone because Jesus Christ is going to come again and set up a kingdom where that is no longer the case. Remember his promise. So when you take communion, remember Jesus. Remember your Savior. Church, if you want to remember Jesus, read his story. And if you want to remember Jesus, tell your story. I'm going to invite up Pastor Brian to walk us through communion. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And I'm so glad that I got to love on you and remind us all of this amazing truth. Thank you.
Amen. Can we say thank you this morning? Andrew, I think you've just been waiting for this day, and if you haven't, we have, because that was awesome. Oh my goodness, I'm excited for our youth and what's coming in this next season with Andrew leading them. I'm excited for this church and what's coming this next season as we are being led by the people God puts in place. Amen? Amen. Church, if you are at home or on the road or out on vacation somewhere watching us online, we want you to take the next few minutes, gather your elements together for communion, because we're going to take together.